Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 386, and the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. And what follows? Psalter 386, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 7, the verses 1 through 10. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 7, the first 10 verses. And now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying, that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, and no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Thus far the scripture reading. We announce that Mrs. DePater remains in the hospital. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Almighty, unchangeable and eternal God, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, then it is thy gracious and sparing hand that has cared for us in the past week, that has provided, that has protected. It is thy gracious hand that has brought us up to thy courts in this morning hour. Then in the past week it has not pleased thee to take one of us and our children away by the cold hand of death. But we have been the recipients of many blessings from above. The psalmist of old has testified that they could not be numbered, and so it is with us and our children, ah, Lord. May we be given to see thy gracious hand therein, and may we be humbled thereunder, and may it please thee by thy Spirit to grant that godly sorrow that worketh that true repentance, and the need born that our sins may be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. And because over against all thy goodness, then our sins were great, and they were manifold. And to that end, Lord, we humbly ask thee for the work of thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of us and our children in this morning hour. And may it please thee to bless and to apply the singing. What we have already sung together, may that have been the experience and the need of different souls in this morning hour. Wilt thou bless the reading of thy holy law which we have heard? Then we must all confess that we are transgressors from the womb. We can confess it with our mind. It is needed that by thy Spirit that it becomes reality in our heart. Wilt thou bless the portion out of thy holy word? Then we have heard of a great wonder which thou hast performed. And thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to that end, then we humbly ask thee, and may thou also perform great wonders amongst us and our children in this very hour. And the greatest wonder that can take place, oh, it was a great wonder when thou hast created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. But then there was no resistance. And therefore the greatest wonder is when a dead sinner may be quickened, when a stony heart, a rebellious and a stubborn heart, may be turned into a heart of flesh, that is given to cry after thee and for thee. And to that end, Lord, may it please thee to bless thy holy word. Go then from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, and may it be thy set time that sinners, boys and girls, young people, the middle-aged and the elderly may be wrought upon to be placed in their guilt and in their missing, to become a true seeker, to make that good choice, to set their face high in words, and to learn that we can never save ourselves by our works, but the need for that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ born, and also applied, Lord. Spare us and our children, that we deceive not our poor soul, that we build upon sandy foundations. Remember thy Zion. It can be perhaps souls have come up in this morning. Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not? May it then please thee to confirm thine own work, to grant those further leadings, and to grant that close, that tender, and that dependent life, and needing thy dear Son in his threefold office. Wilt thou remember the brother elder and the deacons in Nobleford? Wilt thou grant them thy gracious help? And wilt thou also prosper the building of a sanctuary unto thy name, for thee to dwell in the future, for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger? Remember all those that labor in thy vineyard, thy servants, elders and deacons. Thou wast granted in the past week that one of our classes has met concerning the candidate, and we're at the end of this month. He hopes to be ordained into that holy ministry of word and of sacrament. Wilt thou go before him as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, together with his family? Lord, we commend unto thee our manifold temporal needs. Remember the old mother in the hospital. Hitherto thou wast spared the brittle thread of her life. Thou wast given a little improvement. There are still many concerns. as they are all known unto thee. And to that end, we commend her unto thee for body and for soul. All her earthly life, there shall come a time, it shall come to an end. And may it please thee to save her never dying soul. Remember her together with her husband, with all other sick and afflicted ones. The circumstances are known unto thee. May the means be blessed, the calling sanctified. Remember all the sick relatives. We commend unto thee widowers, widows, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to uphold them? Remember all our elderly ones, those in the care home, those bound to their dwellings, and those that may still come up to thy house. Remember all the crosses, remember all the burdens. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread? May it please thee to refresh the thirsty earth with refreshing showers. And, Lord, may it also please thee to grant the refreshing showers of thy Holy Spirit upon us and our children, as thou wast promised in thy holy word. We commend unto thee all the handicapped, Lord. Wilt thou grant courage, wilt thou grant strength, and may all the trials and the afflictions, and may they be sanctified. We remember prodigal sons and daughters. May they come to themselves, and may they be given to think of former times, as the prodigal son in the scriptures has done. Wilt thou draw them before it is forever and forever too late? Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy help. Wilt thou grant the thoughts, the subjects, and the words? May there be many Aarons and hers among young and old. Wilt thou remember all that could not come up, also when they may listen along? Grant them a Sabbath day journey. Wilt thou remember all those that have come up? May there have come up those thirsty and hungry ones, and Lord, when it is missed, in the hearts of the unconverted, but also in the life of thy people, wilt thou grant it in this very morning hour. Graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, the wandering thoughts, the worldly thoughts, the buying and the selling temporally, but also in a spiritual way. May it please thee to bind the Satan. Lord, dwell then richly amongst us. Grant a token for good. And what greater token could thou grant, that when it would be heard, that sons and daughters were born in Zion, false foundations uncovered, but also thy children instructed and encouraged. And, Lord, then by renewal, then we have to confess that we have absolutely nothing to plead upon. We are such unthankful creatures. May that become our sin. Our sins are great and manifold. And to that end, May we be given to plead in thy mercy, based upon the finished work of thy dear Son, in the state of his humiliation, and where he sits at thy right hand as the glorified Savior on the throne, in the state of his exaltation, together and to preserve his church. May the outgoing of the service before the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name, we ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Lord, the God of my salvation, a day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. And what follows, Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture we have read together, Luke 7, the first 10 verses, and for our text, we shall read the 9th verse. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, and no, not in Israel. Our text words speak of Jesus' healing of the centurion's servant. With three thoughts, in the first place, the worthy centurion. In the second place, the unworthy centurion. And in the third place, the marveled at centurion. Jesus' healing of the centurion's servant. The worthy centurion, that was the testimony of the elders of the Jews. The unworthy centurion, that was his own testimony. And in the third place, the marveled at centurion, and that was by Jesus. We read in the beginning of this chapter, and now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, a blessed city, where the Lord Jesus Christ may come. We read in Matthew 4, the verses 13 through 16, that Galilee, that Zebulun, that Naphtali, those tribes, it was a land that dwelt in darkness. But we already read in the prophet Isaiah that the prophet has promised that a great light would arise and that it would shine in their midst. That has now transpired in the New Testament, and he entered into Capernaum. When the Lord enters into a place, into a city, into a congregation, then such a people can never remain the same. What a solemn thought picture, Butte. Because I read in 2 Corinthians 2, the verses 15 and 16, that either a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. There are many cities where the Lord has formerly come, where he has worked so richly with the Spirit, where there were congregations, and many of God's people, and today, the Lord has left that city, and we find the truth no longer. Think of the churches of Asia Minor. What a blessing the Lord has granted in those congregations. And then in Revelations 2 and 3, then the exalted Christ has given messages to each of those churches, calling them to repent. And they have not repented, and the candlestick was removed from among them. Is that ever our fear, congregation, that because of our sins, of our evil and worldly ways, that the Lord shall depart with the Spirit, then we can still hold on to the form for a while. But then it becomes so shallow, and then soon the form shall also disappear. But blessed that city where Christ may come. In Capernaum, he has preached so often in the synagogue, has performed many wonders. We read in the Gospels, was his place of habitation in Matthew 4, verse 13. We read that Christ dwelt at Capernaum. And in Matthew 9, verse 1, it was called his own city. There in a special way he has manifested his wonders and proclaimed his word. In that respect, then we could be compared to Capernaum. Then for many years already, the truth of God's word has been proclaimed. The Lord has manifested his mighty hand in many different ways. The callings also of death have been many among young and old. And then how was it with Capernaum in this morning hour? And not only as a congregation, but how was it individually? Have those labors been blessed? Or is her heart only becoming harder? Oh, may it please the Lord in the latter days of the earth to grant a revival. The city of Capernaum, that was on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, about 2.5 miles, they think, west of where the Jordan River enters that sea. And today, there is nothing left of that city. There are different mounds. In one of those mounds, they have even found the remains of a synagogue. Some think it was from the 2nd or 3rd century. Others even perhaps the synagogue of which we read in this chapter. That is also a thought for instruction. Many of the cities which we find recorded in the Bible, there is nothing left. Many of them cannot even be found. Some of them have been found. That tells us, congregation, that here upon this earth, everything shall come to an end. Also our kingdoms, and then at the end, all that shall be allotted, it shall be a burial plot and a gravestone, and then we shall be in eternity, and then the question shall be which, whether all the labors, the spreading of God's seed, whether they have been blessed to our never-dying souls, or under all those labors, because congregation of Pitcher Butte, then we have said, can we not be compared to that blessed city of Capernaum? The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 5 verse 4 has said, what more could have I done to my vineyard that I have not done unto it? Boys and girls, what more could the Lord now do? Young people, older ones, the labors have been so manifold. And now in this morning, then we wish to meditate upon a great wonder which the Lord Jesus Christ has performed in that city. Oh, there are many temporal needs, even needs, maybe that we need a wonder from above. But do we also need a wonder for our never-dying soul? The city of Capernaum, that was on a trade route from Damascus to Egypt and to the Mediterranean Sea. And to that end, the Romans have placed the garrison there a centurion with 100 soldiers to keep order in that city. And there was also a custom booth where the taxes would be collected. And now we know that the Jews and the Romans, they were living at bitter enmity against each other. Oh, the Jews, they viewed those Romans as intruders upon their land and upon their freedoms. Alas, there were so few that were given to see that it was the judgment of the Lord upon their sins. Because in the book of Malachi I read that the prophet has said unto the children of Judah that they have robbed the Lord of his tithes, and now what they refused to give for the service of the Lord, that they were forced to give to the Romans. But also the Romans, because those Jews, they caused many difficulties for the Romans. It seemed that the Jewish people, that they were a rebellious people, and each time it was many labors for the Romans to keep the Jews subdued. But now we see the sovereignty of the Lord, because in our text words, then we read, and a certain centurion. Oh, the Romans, they had many centurions, and it is true. We read of different centurions in the Bible in a favorable light. Oh, think of that centurion at the cross who was testified that this is a righteous man, the Son of God. Think of Cornelius the centurion in Acts 10, who has served the Lord with his family and served the Lord with alms and prayers. Also later in the life of the Apostle Paul, then the centurion on the trip to Rome has treated Paul very kindly. But now we see the sovereignty of the Lord, because it is specifically mentioned, a certain centurion. That was a centurion whom the Lord has chosen from eternity, whom the Lord has written in the book of life, for whom Christ has given himself. Also for that centurion, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Oh, we do not know how it has transpired, but the Lord uses means. And now a certain centurion, then he was wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. And that became evident in the fruits, because congregation, when the Lord works in our heart, then it cannot remain hidden, although many a souls they try to hide it because of all their sins and that mysterious ways. The Lord has a people, it is true, with so many questions and with so many riddles, that may walk with a lantern upon their back, that it is clear that they are a certain child of God, that they have been wrought upon, that they have received that godly sorrow that worketh at repentance, and not to be repented of. Oh, the wonder in Capernaum, that the Lord has passed by many a Jew who have hardened their heart, who have even lived in enmity against the Lord. The Lord has bypassed many Pharisees, but now a certain centurion. Oh, what a stumbling block that doctrine of election can be for us and our children. A natural man shall never bow under a sovereign God, because I read in Romans 8 verse 7 that the carnal heart is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God. And neither indeed can it be, but congregation, because there is an election. Therefore, it is still possible for us and our children to be saved through a work of a triune God. And we must not begin with election, because in the revealed will of God it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Oh, then I even read, children and young people, in Proverbs 8, verse 17, those that seek me early, they shall find me. Oh, then I hear a soul say, but I cannot convert myself, I cannot seek. How do you know it, congregation? Have you truly tried it? Has that been experienced in your life? Let me ask you in this morning, have you done what you could to be saved? And then each and every unconverted sinner shall say, then they shall say no. Ah, may that become our guilt, our inability, but more so our unwillingness, oh, in the life of a child of God. Then it shall first be experienced, unable to save ourselves with all our works, with all our tears. Oh, in the beginning that people think, if the Lord was not as willing as I was to be saved, then I would immediately be saved and be placed in that assurance of the children of God. But, oh, the Lord shall teach his people in that further, that their unwillingness is the greatest. But now the wonder in our text, a certain centurion. Ah, that was a centurion that was born and conceived in sin, never sought after the Lord. We do not know when he was converted. Oh, it was a busy centurion, because children, a centurion sent, that means 100. Thus, that was a Roman officer that had 100 soldiers under him. And it was his calling to keep order among those soldiers, but also order in the midst of that city of Capernaum, thus a busy man. But it was the Lord's time to convert him. Oh, it can be in our life, as mothers, in the midst of the family circles, as fathers in the midst of business life. Oh, then how our soul cleaves to the dust. But for the Lord it does not stand in the way. A certain centurion, oh, young and old, have you now become that certain sinner? Has it now become real in our life? As that centurion in his natural state, that he has never sought after the Lord, but the Lord has sought after him. And then it becomes evident in our life, because we read, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him. Of course, it is still a blessing by the common goodness of the Lord when he grants love in the midst of our family circles. Oh, may love among husbands and wives, and may it abound more and more. May there be love among parents and children, a great blessing, because I read in Matthew 24, verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, and iniquity is abounding in our day. Therefore, the love of many shall wax cold. We see in our society that the family circle, the foundation of society, is crumbling. The judgments of the Lord upon the land, because we have forsaken the Lord. Oh, let the church take notice, because when the church bows not under the authority of God's word, when the church follows hard after the world, when the church is more and more hardened, then the judgments of the Lord shall also come upon a people. But now for that centurion. Oh, it did not speak of one of his soldiers, of what it speaks of a servant that, boys and girls, means a slave. But that slave was near and dear unto him. And that slave was sick. And he was ready to die. We also read of the history in Matthew 8, the verses 5 through 13. And there it is written that he was sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. There are some that think perhaps he had tetanus or lockjaw, that he was paralyzed, that he had terrible spasms, a terrible sight to see. And then that centurion was given to behold that servant that was so near and dear unto him, and that he was ready to die. Then undoubtedly the thought of that centurion must have multiplied, because it is evident in our chapter that that centurion has received grace. And when we have now a servant, an employee, a child, and when we see him in such a terrible condition and ready to die, then shall the question not be, have we done enough for that servant? Have I done enough for my child? And then I am not speaking outwardly, but pertaining to the welfare of their never-dying soul. Have I prayed enough for that child? Have I instructed to the utmost of my power, as we have promised with the sacrament of holy baptism? Have I kindly admonished, shown them the dangers of the world? Oh, fathers and mothers, we have our children, but for a time, we are only stewards, and all children do not receive a sick bed, have experienced in the church community different times, among the very young and our youth, that in a short time, even in a twinkling of an eye, that they are taken from our sides. A certain centurion, servant who was dear unto him, and sick, and ready to die. There are such many in the world. There are even such in the midst of the church. What do I mean, congregation? Of course, by nature, we are all dead in sins and trespasses, lying under the wrath of God. But then this centurion servant, he was sick of the palsy, we would say, paralyzed. How was that with us, congregation? Do we resemble that sick, a servant of that centurion? Does the word of God still make impression? The last two Lord's days, we have tried to speak, begin a little about that only comfort in life and death, which is so indispensable for us and our children. Have we thought about it, congregation? Has it troubled us? Have we cried unto the Lord? Have we examined our hearts? But now, this centurion servant, who was so sick, paralyzed, spasms, grievously tormented, what may we compare it to? Oh, there are those They tell us tetanus, a bacteria that enters into our body. Perhaps also a few amongst us that resemble that sick centurion servant, so paralyzed, grievously tormented. Then we could speak of those that have become addicted to alcohol, drugs, pornography. May we be kept, and when there are such souls, then how necessary that we may do as those elders, and that we may take them to the Lord at the throne of grace. May we be given to pray much, to be kept, that the Lord may place a fiery wall around about us and our children, because when we fall into those things, then how paralyzed we become. Then also in church, then our heart can be so hardened that the sweetest music concerning the gospel and the threatenings of hell, that they have no longer effect upon us. Then we can resemble that servant with those terrible spasms and outbreaking when we overindulge. What a warning for us and our children. But now this centurion, the servant, was dear unto him, ready to die. Then congregation, it tells us that there is nothing impossible for the Lord. Maybe there are fathers and mothers that have a son and daughter at their wit's end. Seems so hopeless. Maybe worse than the servant. But then we read in this chapter what he has done. Then that centurion, he was not a Jew. He stood outside, and he felt that he could not go to Jesus. He undoubtedly felt that he could not pray as he ought. He was a Roman. Have we ever experienced that we stood outside congregation? We live in a day that people place themselves so quickly inside, but have we ever become an outsider? Do I not read in Ephesians 2 verse 12, an alien of the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the promise of covenant, without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world? That centurion, he has heard of Jesus. We would think, when we read in this history that he heard of Jesus, that it has been before time, because he has dwelt in that city of Capernaum, and it cannot be different, because the Lord Jesus Christ has done many wonders. That centurion has heard of those wonders, that they have been spread abroad, that he has heard, for Jesus there was nothing impossible, we would think, because he had built that synagogue and give it to the Jews, as we hope to hear, that he would have also many times entered that synagogue when Jesus was present, is not all written in the Word of God. But because he felt so insufficient, then he is called for some Jewish elders and has laid the case before of a servant that was dear unto him, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented, and ready to die, so haste was necessary. And then he has sent those elders, the Jewish elders, to Jesus, that he would ask Jesus to come and to heal a servant. Ah, then that centurion was given to believe that for Jesus there were no impossible cases, even when a servant was ready to die. Oh, what a solemn thought for that servant. It would soon be eternity. And then the elders beseeching him that he would come and heal a servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. That was in the sight of those Jewish elders. That centurion had won the respect of the Jewish people, maybe even an example for some of them. There's not all written in the Bible. Thus, those elders, they have added something to what the centurion has told, because that centurion, we hope to hear it later, that he was so unworthy. But now for those Jewish elders, they tried to persuade the Lord Jesus Christ that there was reason in that centurion that he should come immediately and heal the Lord Jesus Christ, because they have given different reasons for he loveth our nation. And that in a difference with most of the Romans, where we have stated that there was such a bitter enmity between the Jews and the Romans. Oh, in the heart of that centurion, then undoubtedly it cannot be different. Loveth our nation, because he has learned to love the God of the Jews. And when the Lord works, Thomas Boston in his fourfold state, that is a book we should all read. And when he speaks of the mark of grace, and then for many a child of God, then it can be so many questions and so many riddles. And then he speaks of a special mark of grace that a child of God cannot deny. That when the Lord begins, boys and girls, then we receive such a love and such a jealousy for God's people. It is true, especially when we are young, then there can be so many misconceptions. Then we can even think that people are so holy that they sin no more. But then it shall be manifest in our life. Then there can be times that we have a desire to meet that people, and that the Lord, in a special providence, that he opens a way that we are called to work, to labor, or whatever it may be. And then we are so glad that we may be with that people, then we can even think, if we are now close to the people of God, then surely fire from heaven will not come down and consume me. Then we shall make that good choice of a Ruth. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God, for he loveth our nation. Congregation, do we now love that people of God? And not only love that people, but love their walk when it is right. Then we do not think they are too strict. But then it is our desire to also walk in that way. It is true in the beginning, much in that covenant of works. And nevertheless, the Lord worketh by love. Oh, the Jewish that Jewish elders could say to Jesus, for he loveth our nation, that becomes evident in our life. Let us first sing. Psalter 19, the stanzas 1 through 4. Oh, why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress? Psalter 19, the first 4 stanzas. A certain centurion servant Oh, we read of different ones in the Bible that have come concerning a child or a loved one. But in this history, it was a servant. And now the Jewish elders have come. They have asked Jesus immediately to come and to heal him. And then we have heard that the Jewish elders, they have added much. Oh, if the centurion had heard of what those Jewish elders had said, then he would have said stop. Because we hope to hear of what the experience of that centurion was. And nevertheless, a certain centurion, Christ has said in the Sermon on the Mount at the end, in Matthew 7, that by their fruits ye shall know them. And now when the Lord works by his Holy Spirit in our heart, then we receive a love and a respect for his people, for his church, for his house, for his institutions. And then we love his law, even though it condemns us. And now it has even become more evident, oh, when the Lord pours out his grace richly, than it is with the psalmist of Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? Oh, then a sinner learn what they have received by free and sovereign grace. Then a sinner has learned what they deserve. And how can they now repay the Lord? And now for that centurion, he received such a love for that people, then undoubtedly he has seen, because it was his duty to hold order in that city. Then, of course, he has traveled through that city, and then he has met many people, maybe many fathers and mothers with families, and that they were not so rich. And that centurion thought, the Lord has richly blessed me, and I am only a steward, and I can take nothing into eternity. What a blessing it then would be if I could help that poor people and build a synagogue in the city. And undoubtedly, then he thought, because the Lord has a people that so often exclude themselves, and a Gentile. There are many things written about Gentiles. It is true in the New Testament, it has become a little broader, but in the Old Testament, then they were not allowed in many holy places. And then undoubtedly, then that centurion has thought, if I now build a synagogue for that Jewish people, then undoubtedly they will let me go in. Perhaps still in that covenant of works, we leave it lie. Nevertheless, it was by love. Thus the elders have said that he was worthy. How is it with us, congregation? I read in Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And in Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another man praise thee and not thine. Thine own mouth a stranger, and not thine own lips. And now, congregation, what do you think of that prayer of those elders? What do you think, boys and girls? What do you think of that prayer? Was it a right prayer? Of course, it was a sincere request. There was a servant lying at home with a palsy, grievously tormented, ready to die. That is all our picture. When the Lord has said in Genesis 2, verse 17, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then in the original it says, dying thou shalt die. That's all a dying people, all in a spiritual sense. May there be those elders, not only consistory, maybe those in the midst of the congregation, and that may bring the needs of young and old at the throne of grace. That is our calling for all of us. But when we consider that prayer, then there is much amiss. Because the elders, they have come with the worthiness of that centurion. But now what an encouragement in this history there is for a people. Maybe sometime boys and girls, maybe then you think, I do not think I can pray aright. And my prayers are so poor. I do not have so many words, and not only for the children. Think of the disciples in Luke 11, verse 1. Then they have said, Lord, teach us to pray. But nevertheless, and that is now the wonder, there was much amiss in that prayer. They have said, come and heal him. Thus they felt that his presence was necessary. They have spoken of worthiness. It was not the prayer of the publican. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ has said, I will come and heal him. What an encouragement for people that cannot pray. Then we see that the Lord, in his mercy and in his grace, that he overlooks much. What a rebuke that Jesus could have given to those elders, but that he did not do. But Jesus knew there was a need, a great need. The Lord looks on our heart. Are there people with a great need, with an unbearable need, and that have learned that you cannot pray? Then what an encouragement is written in this history when Jesus has said, I will come and heal him. Then we may say that Jesus has taken the case over, can be, in the life of a child of God, that they have a case. And that at the throne of grace, that the Lord gives so much opening. What is now necessary for the church with those cases? And we come there not so fast. But that with those cases also of our fellow man, that we come to the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. What a grace to be given to bow under the will of God. Nevertheless, for a people that learns more and more how poor their prayers are. And then I am not even speaking of wandering thoughts and worldly thoughts when we are even praying, but that we are such poor supplements, and many times so much of self. What a merciful Savior the church has, that Jesus has not rebuked those elders and said, you must first go home And you must first learn to pray aright. And then when you have everything a little in order, then you must come back and try again. That Jesus did not say, but he said, I will come and heal him. Thus then we have said, then Jesus has taken that case over. And there he also appears in his kingship. Because when he immediately said, I will come and heal him, that signifies that he was not only willing, but that he was also able to heal that servant. All for the church with those heavy cases. There can be those times. Of course, times that they believe nothing, that they have trouble with atheists. But times that they are truly given to believe that the Lord is able to do all things, because he has said to Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? But then it can be if he is willing. But oh, in our history, then Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Congregation, we shall close when the Lord grants it. Then the next Lord's Day, then we may continue. But what an instruction. Oh, once more I ask, maybe there are those cases, even a few in church. Addictions, entrapped, no way out. What a hidden crosses there can be behind the closed curtains in the night watches and in the day watches. But may we be given, and that is not only for those, oh, for all unconverted people. Because then we are as that servant, a sick of the palsy, so paralyzed. Maybe no impression even in church of that one thing needful. But may we be given to resemble those elders, not in their prayer, but in that coming to Jesus with the need of that servant. I read in Psalm 50, verse 14, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard of that certain centurion with that sick servant and with those elders that were sent unto thee. And although there was so much amiss in their asking, Lord, then thou wast come along to heal. And that now becomes the encouragement and the wonder for the church. Thou never doest this because of anything that is in man. And when it is given unto the church to come with a right petition, then it all comes from above, and thou shalt crown thy own work, O Lord. And may it please thee in these dark and latter times of the earth to pour out the spirit of prayer and supplication, with that earnestness that the time is short, and there is one thing needful. Ah, Lord, we all resemble that servant. We are ready to die, one heartbeat, one breath, away from eternity. Ah, wilt thou convert us, as thou wast converted all thy people. Watch over us in this day. Bring us safely to our dwellings. May we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Forgive all our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 426. The stanza 7, 9, and 10. What shall I render to Jehovah now for all the riches of his consolation? With joy I'll take the cup of his salvation, and call upon his name a thankful vow. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing, the second wedding announcement of Jaden Kendallboth and Suzanne Gerdine Maurick. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, August 9 at 10:30 a.m. with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. And the first wedding announcement of David John Elliman and Raylan Susan Grisnick. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. Psalter 426, the stanzas 7, 9, and 10. the new insight into is at the exit. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.